This is Night Call, the new nationwide listener call-in show on vital issues. Tonight's subject, the Christian Black Betrayal. Tonight's guest, Black author James Baldwin. He says the Christian church as it is today must be destroyed. You speak for yourself and ask your questions directly by calling Collect, Night Call's national phone number, area code 212-749-3311, or in the New York area, 866-5010. Night Call's host in New York City is Del Shields.
If you are born under the circumstances in which black people are born, the destruction of the Christian churches may not only be desirable, but necessary. That was some of the language used by our guest tonight in addressing the Assembly of the World Council of Churches in Sweden a week ago. Our guest tonight is James Baldwin. He also told the 720 delegates representing 237 Protestant and Eastern Orthodox denominations from all around the world that Christian churches have betrayed the black man by their identification with racist institutions in society, and that in doing so they had lost touch with their own Christian principles. Mr. Baldwin also told his audience to go back to the source and follow the example of the Hebrew criminal who was crucified, and that Christianity still has the power to move the world, if it will. Mr. Baldwin is standing by in New York to answer your questions and share your comments and conversations at our national phone number, which is area code 212-749-3311. And you may, of course, call Collect. That's area code 212-749-3311. That's for national calls. And in the New York area, you may call us at 866-5010. That's 866-5010 for local calls. Mr. Baldwin, good evening.
Hello. Good evening.
Thank you for being with us.
Thank you.
Our first question tonight, sir, just what do you mean when you say the Christian church has betrayed the black man?
Well, I could have put it another way, I think. I could have said the Christian church has betrayed the white man, too. What I was trying to get at is that the collision of the adventure of Europeans in Africa, the meeting of the pagan and the Christian, was disastrous for the African. I was trying to say that the rape of Africa, the exploitation of all those people, the murder, the death, the slaughter, was a betrayal not only of black people, but of all humanity. And the Christian church, according to me, opted for power when it was supposed to create a new moral standard in the world.
In your speech before the World Council, you accused Christians of putting themselves out of touch with themselves. Would you explain?
Christians putting themselves out of touch with themselves?
Right.
I meant that from the point of view of where I am and what and the kind of work I do, that is to say, speaking as a writer and speaking as a kind of Westerner I am, but I was born in the West as a black man then, born in the West, who happens to be an artist. I am aware that it's a very simple thing, but it's a very complex matter to live by, that what one does to another, you're really doing to yourself. And what the white people have accused black men of being and have penalized black men for does not say anything about black men at all. This is a great deal about white men. In short, the accusation I may level against you is always a kind of confession of who I am. And if one uses that as a standard for the Christian performance in the world, it says something terrifying about Christians.
When you state that the Christian church, or that the destruction of the Christian church as it is today may not only be necessary but desirable, would you explain to us what you mean by destruction?
If I were a black South African miner, to use an example which is, I hope, vivid, and my masters were Christian, and if I tried to compare the fortunes of that unhappy Jew who was put to death by Rome and my own fortunes in the mines, it would seem to me that my only salvation would be somehow abolish the power of the Bank of the Holy Ghost in Rome, and somehow destroy the power of all those Pharisees who are responsible for my living destruction and the destruction of my children, and this in the name of the Prince of Peace.
But even though you call for the destruction of
the... I didn't call for it. I said it may be desirable or inevitable.
All right, the desirability of the destruction of the church, you still are optimistic because you went on to say that Christianity still has the power to move the world if it will.
Yes, but I was not talking about Christians. I was talking about Christ. I accuse the Christian church of not believing in Christ.
Our guest tonight is James Baldwin, and we'll begin taking some calls from our listeners across the nation. And we'll accept our first call from Memphis, Tennessee. We have a listener who is hearing Night Call over WDIA. And we welcome Miss Linda Burse.
So, Mr. Brown?
Hello.
Hello. Mr. Brown?
Speaking.
I would like to know if there is a God, well, why is it that you let the black people stay in the dark for so long?
Well, in the first place, I must suggest to you that I am not so sure that it is black people who are in the dark. The black people are in misery, you know.
Yes.
But it is people like the representatives of your state in Tennessee who are really in the dark. The southern sheriffs who put cattle prods against children's, against women's breasts, against children, who are guilty of fantastic, enormous sins, right, against the Holy Ghost, against the human spirit, against another human being. If I had to live and be like that, in that darkness, I would prefer the outer darkness and be buried.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you for calling.
Yes.
Our guest tonight is Mr. James Baldwin, the outstanding writer, and tonight we are discussing the betrayal of the Christian church, or I should say the Christian church and the betrayal of the black man. Our national telephone number is area code 212-749-3311. That's area code 212-749-3311. Our local telephone number is 866-5010. In New York, 866-5010. Remember, if you're calling out of town, you may call us collect. We'll take our next call from Mr. Norman Lewis, who's hearing Night Call over WLIB in New York. Mr. Lewis, what is your question, sir?
Hello.
Yes, hello.
Hello, Mr. Baldwin. It is a pleasure to speak to you.
Thank you.
And I read your recent article in the July issue of Esquire on James Baldwin tells us all how to cool it. And I think it was a very cogent article. And I'm glad that it was written by someone so that people can get a much clearer view of the goings on now, especially in the ghettos.
Thank you.
I have a question I wish to ask you, Mr. Baldwin. I'd like to know if there is any truth to the article, or let's say the series, written in this book, U.S. Riot Commission Report by Tom Wicker.
What is the name of the book?
U.S. Riot Commission Report by Tom Wicker. I believe that's the title of it.
Yes, I've not read the book.
Some mention made in the book about the establishment or the building of concentration camps across the country. And this is, I suppose, where the idea of this being bantered about now. First of all, I don't know how much truth there is to this idea that they have concentration camps for Negroes in particular, or anyone who doesn't go along with the status quo.
I didn't read the book that you were talking about, but I read several articles. I think one of them is in Look, which describes in some detail we don't call them concentration camps. They're called detention centers.
And centers, thank you.
They do exist. What will be done with them depends very much on the American people. But speaking again as a black Westerner and a native-born American, I beg to point out to you that there's nothing in the American record to indicate that you won't use concentration camps if you think you have to. You did it to the Japanese, and of course the Indian testimony is very striking too.
I see. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you for calling, sir. I would just like to pass on to Mr. Baldwin that...
Hey,
I said I would like to just pass on a comment about the concentration camps. A few weeks ago, we had the editor of Look magazine who wrote the article about the concentration camps, and we discussed it at length, and the law is on the books, but it was not definite that it was being directed actually towards the black people.
Well, as a matter of fact, I will tell you this, that if you manage, if the company manages to put black people in jail, all the white people are next.
We'll take our next call, this time from a listener who is hearing Night Call over WBUR in Boston, Mr. John Collins. Mr. Collins, your question, sir.
Yeah, Mr. Baldwin, how are you?
Hello, how are you?
Good to talk with you, Jim.
Thank you.
Say, one question I did want to ask you, and I don't mean it in an offensive manner, but I just would like to see the record set straight one time, and that is the persistent use of the term Christian church as applied to America and the black man. The history of the black man in America is not simply Christian. It is Protestant.
I don't understand the point you're making.
My point is, sir, that I don't want to be involved in the sins of another people. I happen to be a Catholic, and I happen to know my history, and I don't want myself lumped in with another group that did your people a terrible thing.
I think you're being sentimental, if I may say so, sir, about your history and the history of the Catholic Church.
No.
I must point out to you that I am not interested in making any... I'm not simply trying to accuse anybody. I'm not what has happened has happened. My point is a very simple point. My point is that if one doesn't face what has happened, one will repeat what has happened. One will not be able to deal with one's present if one is not able to tell something of the truth about one's past. And from that point of view, the Protestant Church, the Catholic Church, the Christian, which are both the Christian Church, are equally responsible for the fate endured by millions of what the Western world calls savages.
Well, this is if you want to spread it beyond our national borders.
I did not for a moment believe the Christian Church was an American invention.
Good. Glad to hear it.
It may not help us.
No, from that standpoint, I would agree with you, and that is that the Christian Church has not betrayed you.
Beg your pardon?
The Christian Church hasn't betrayed you or I. It's betrayed Jesus Christ.
It's betrayed itself.
That's right.
That's my point, my entire point.
Well, if you would be a little more explicit in making the point, because in America, we all have problems. This is not a country where the black man has been put down. A lot of us have been put down.
Yes, but it is. Yes, but it is the country in which the difference between your child and my child.
Your child, Mr. Baldwin, is not even a human being in most eyes in this country, and that's terrible.
Well, that proves my point, doesn't it?
That's right, sir.
That's all.
Right.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Good talk to you, sir.
Thank you for calling, sir. Our guest tonight is Mr. James Baldwin. The Christian Black Betrayal is our discussion tonight. Area code 212-749-3311. That's our national telephone number. And, of course, you may call collect. We invite your conversation and your comments. And our local telephone number in New York is 866-5010. Mr. Baldwin, do you feel that there is a chance that... Do you feel that there is a chance that the Christian Church will return to the principles which offers all men or offers all mankind the best things in life?
It is very difficult to envision that as long as the Christian Church is one of the principal supporters of the government of South Africa. And it's very difficult to envision that as long as the Christian Church is does not at least chastise, not expel some of its most eminent representatives, including churchmen, governors, statesmen, presidents, school teachers. If the Christian Church does not take itself seriously, it can't demand that the world take it seriously. If the Christian Church puts itself in a position of being something which the world cannot afford, cannot live by, cannot live under, then the world will do what we've seen the world do before.
Do you see any possible breakthrough at this point?
Do I see any possible breakthrough?
Right.
I think the Christians are trapped as they have been for hundreds of years between their moral professions and their safety. all Christians, as far as I can tell, have forgotten that the author of their faith, their Lord and Savior, picked up a whip and drove the money changers out of the temple.
Mr. Baldwin, we'll return with more questions and more calls from our listeners right after station identification. Stay tuned for the Night Call Network.
More Night Call with Del Shields and guest James Baldwin after station identification. Black is a red-blooded American color. The black showed the color of his blood in places like Vietnam and Korea and every other all-American battleground since the Revolution. Every time his country calls for help, he hears. But we don't seem to hear him when he calls. If black and white would listen with their hearts, they could hear each other. That's what Night Call is all about. It lets people air their views man to man, color to color, live from phones anywhere in the country. A syringe full of junk bites into black and white skin with the same ruining surge, and a black mother cries over her child just like a white one does. The problems are the same. The characters just have different colors. Night Call's person-to-person nationwide radio hookup lets the black and the white tell it like it is. Speak for yourself, collect on Night Call, area code 212-749-3311 or 866-5010 to James Baldwin about the Christian black betrayal. Again, Del Shields.
Our next caller on Night Call is hearing Night Call over KFRC in Sacramento, California, Miss Beth Jackson. Your question, Miss Jackson.
Yes, sir. Mr. Baldwin?
Yes, hello.
Hi. You said that that the Christian church is neglecting to project morals or teach morals to people. Well, what do you think is the guideline, or who is going to project the morals for the Negroes and the Caucasian race so that they'll be able to exist together?
Anyone who really believes it can do, can begin it. You have to remember that my grandmother, for example, that black woman on the plantation hundreds of years ago did not become a Christian by imitating white people. And a black man today tries to become a Christian, he can only do it by ignoring the example set by white Christians.
Okay, fine. You have your people that do accept each race, but they're the ones that don't want to. And how are, we're going to be able to exist in the future if people out of ignorance aren't going to accept this? How do you begin to show them that you can exist or you can live with the other race?
My dear, it's a question which is very hard to answer. But one of the things I would suggest to the American people, because I cannot, talk for to any other people,
right,
is that ignorance is commonplace. And there's no reason to elect it to office.
Okay.
If you see what I mean.
I have a question.
If you have elected into office, you can always impeach it.
I see. Okay, fine. Thank you very much, Mr. Baldwin.
Thank you.
Thank you for calling.
You're welcome.
This is Night Call in New York, area code 212-749-3311. That's our national telephone number. Remember, you may call us collect. That's area code 212-749-3311 and our local telephone number, 866-5010. That's 866-5010. Our next caller, Mr. Baldwin, is hearing Night Call over WBAK in Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania, Mrs. Lawler. Mrs. Lawler, welcome. What is your question?
Hello, Mr. Baldwin.
Hello, how are you?
Fine, thank you. How are you?
Okay.
Good. Mr. Baldwin, as Christians, we are taught that we are imitators of Christ. And in this area, what would you suggest that we do to carry out Christ's word?
Well, have you read the New Testament?
Pardon?
Have you read the New Testament?
Yes.
It was a very simple command, wasn't it?
Love thy neighbor as thyself.
Yes. Have you answered your own question?
Yes.
All right.
I hope that every one of us will really do that.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for calling.
Yes.
Our next caller, Mrs. Irene Rose, is hearing Night Call over WAME in Florida. While we're getting that call, we'll give the telephone number out again. It's area code 212-749-3311. That's area code 212-749-3311. Our local telephone number again is 866-5010. Mr. Baldwin, you stated that we must begin to love our neighbor as ourselves.
Even if he's next door.
Is there another rule that one can follow?
I beg your pardon?
Is there another rule that one can follow?
In the case of the Western Republics, in the case of the Western world, I think that one has got to live by... I think a baby, anybody's baby, is more sacred than anybody's building. It's a choice the Western world's got to make. At the moment, I think buildings are more important than people.
We'll take our next call again from Mrs. Irene Rose, who is hearing Night Call over WAME in Miami, Florida. Mrs. Rose? We have a technical problem. We'll clear that up in just a moment. Going back once again to the speech that you made, Mr. Baldwin, you stated that the Christianity still has the power to move the world, if it will. Now, after making this speech before a worldwide council, did you leave the council feeling that there was going to be some constructive action taking place?
I am no longer as young as I was. And I don't expect much from councils. I expect a great deal from some people. I don't know if the council will try to become more like Christ. Councils in the main never do. Because it can't. I have a certain kind of hope in some people and in something which is in the human heart. But my own experience indicates that most people who try to live this with a certain kind of love or honor or freedom are not to be found in councils.
Well, the
for the most part.
Well, the fact that you were invited to appear before such an imposing council, will this not indicate that perhaps there was some concern by the heads of the church bodies?
I don't mean to sound cynical, but there has been, and I'm certainly not talking about, you know, any individual member of the World Council of Churches or about that council itself. But you have to understand that I speaking only now for me, have watched the Christian concern for a very long time. I'm not going to live as long as I've lived already. And this concern, in the main, translates itself into ways of alleviating the Christian conscience without changing the Christian world. And as long as that is so, my optimism has been placed, you know, my hope is placed in individuals and in what I, as a secular human being, can call the love of God, right?
We'll accept another call this time from Nashville, Tennessee. Mr. John Wade is hearing Night Call over WVOL. Mr. Wade, your question, sir. All right, we'll try another line. This time from Memphis, Tennessee, Mrs. Whiting is hearing Night Call over WDIA. Mrs. Whiting?
Yes?
Your question.
I would like to know, I hear people say, like the Negro list and whites, you know, they'll say, well, the Negro race. And I want to know where the two races come from. In the beginning, there were only two people, and there was Adam and Eve.
That's a beautiful question. But it's a question.
I want to know if there is more than one human race.
There isn't more than one human race. This is something which many men now have died trying to say.
And you said there is more than one human race.
There is only one race.
Oh, I see. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you for calling.
You're welcome. Thank you, Mr. Fields. Goodbye.
Thank you. This is Night Call in New York. Tonight, our guest is Mr. James Baldwin, and we are discussing the Christian Black Betrayal. Our national telephone number is area code 212-749-3311. That's area code 212-749-3311. Remember, we welcome your comments and your conversations, and you are free to call us collect. Our next caller is hearing night call over WAMO in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, Mr. Ronnie Alexander. Your question, sir.
Most times, I think it's able to, we find out that history is best qualified to reward our research. And most black people, we can find out that get their start somewhere in the church. And they work up to be someone. But you're saying that black, Christianity has done the black people wrong in a sense. But I want to ask, what after the church can black people believe in?
I'm afraid that you also, in some sense, have answered your own question. I want to make it clear that I'm accusing you, and I'm observing, right? That's a cooler word than accusing. I'm observing that the Christian church, in betraying black people, has betrayed its own first principles, betrayed its founder, and betrayed itself and all the people in it. And to carry it a little further than that, I think that you ought to understand that the very fact that one talks about a black Christian church indicts the Christian church and proves my point. We learn our Christianity as slaves at the point of a gun. It is not me telling you this. This is what happened. It says a great deal about Christians. That's all I'm saying. And if Christians want to become Christians, or even want to become human, they've got to face this fact and change that reality.
Does that answer your question, sir?
Yes.
Thank you for calling. This is Night Call in New York. Our guest standing by here in New York is Mr. James Baldwin. We are discussing the Christian black betrayal. And from Washington, D.C., Mr. Ronald Walters is hearing Night Call over WAMU-FM in the nation's capital. Mr. Walters, your question, sir.
Yes, good evening, Mr. Baldwin.
Hello.
Yes, I'd like to ask you, now in this time, when black people in this country are reevaluating their values, I want to know what you think of the value of the concept of the black church, concepts of animism going back to African religion, other kinds of black values and other kinds of religious schemata that stem from the black experience. Do you think we ought to begin to reevaluate these things and to find some meaning in them for our own lives?
Well, I think, if I understood your question, I think that one of the things that happened to the Christian church, which is one of the things I meant earlier when I tried to say that the Christians have divorced themselves from themselves, that is, within their own personality, is that a great deal that was buried, for example, you know, in Africa, the sense I still have of the world, of trees, rocks, flowers, men, women, children, something in me feels, I'm only speaking for me, though. Something in me feels much closer to that than to that rigid, one, single-minded, natured God and that alabaster Christ and that bloody cross. I don't think this translates the truth of human experience at all. I think it betrays whatever the Hebrew prophet was trying to tell us.
Yes, do you think part of the sin of this is the institutionalization of religion in this sense? Do you think
of course.
We would fail again if we tried to institutionalize this feeling you have?
I beg your pardon?
Do you think we would fail again if we tried to institutionalize this feeling that you have?
Well, I don't think that the feeling I'm trying to talk about can be institutionalized.
Yes.
That is one of the unlucky things about history the last few, 2,000 years, it seems to me.
Mm-hmm.
The energy which I have sensed in people who are not saved is what I really depend on. And I don't think that can be institutionalized. I think that if someone has learned, people have to learn to trust it.
So this is more akin to a humanism. It's a new...
Yeah, that's the word one would use in this century. But of course, in another century, you call it paganism. One called it paganism. I'm talking about some real relationship, some viable relationship between the human being and himself and his earth and his sky and his gods. Something which Christians don't practice their religion. I hate to say, but they don't. It doesn't mean anything to them, except perhaps on Sunday when they go to a white church or I go to a black church. Well, I think that's, you know, it's on its face, at best, preposterous.
Mr. Walters, thank you for calling.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
This is Night Call in New York. We'll return to our guest, Mr. James Baldwin, right after station identification. Stay tuned for the Night Call Network.
More Night Call with Del Shields and guest James Baldwin after station identification. Listen to the voices of Night Call.
Large numbers of black people in this country are coming to the point where almost no action, violent or nonviolent, legal or illegal, is looked upon as being the sort of action that will help. And I think that's a dangerous point for us, where we reach the point where nothing is likely to help us. And it means, I think, almost the beginning of suicide.
Julian Bond, a black politician, is pessimistic, and a white ethics professor has faith.
I don't agree we're all upset. In spite of the many faults of the white people, I think there's a strong reservoir of compassion in a lot of white people in this country, and a strong desire to see that the black man does get his right.
These voices, plus your own voice of question or comment, are Night Call. Speak for yourself. Speak for yourself, collect on Night Call, area code 212-749-3311 or 866-5010 to James Baldwin about the Christian black betrayal. Again, Del Shields.
And to the stations who join us for the second half hour of Night Call, we welcome them. And standing by here in New York is Mr. James Baldwin as we discuss tonight the Christian black betrayal. And we'll take our next call from Champaign, Illinois. Mrs. Tony Beckoff, I hope I'm pronouncing it correctly, is hearing Night Call over WLRW. Welcome to Night Call.
Hello.
Hello.
Mr. Baldwin.
Yes.
Having lived some of my life in the South and the West and the North, and experiencing schooling and religious education in all those areas, after growing up, was rather appalled that I had never come across any kind of teaching or understanding of old Negro history, culture, etc. And I wondered if maybe this might be something that our not only educational program could do, but the churches, because it is partly their responsibility as a leader of our social life and culture and everything. And I wondered what you thought about this, because, of course, there is a trend now in some of our television and articles in various magazines, but there hasn't been much done on a more person-to-person level. And I wondered if possibly this could help us in by understanding one another through learning rather than just things that are done sort of impersonally over television.
Well, you're really talking, I think, about the ways in which black people are educated or have been educated, are being educated in this country.
Yes,
and I have to beg your pardon?
Yes, educated, and also, we've sort of lost anything concerned with the culture. I mean, even ourselves, we have gone so fast and so far in such a short time that we tend to lose sight of the things that have made us what we are. And I have practically known nothing about the Negroes in the country, or the little bit I know about the Indians, the things that I've read in books, which I found out later are practically almost all erroneous. And I think the only Negro I ever knew of in history was George Washington Carver. And, it's rather frightening when you think about here we are trying to settle our problems here and today, but we don't know why and how they came about, except by the few things that were taught in a history book, which usually are made to sound much nicer than they really were.
Well, you know, you don't. The American necessity was to create a legend, to create a romance out of a crime. And you don't have a slave if a slave can read. You don't have a slave if a slave, in some sense, of who he is, whose ancestors were, in some sense, he's connected to all the living. What the American people had to do was destroy that sense in the black man. And this is so until today, and you should send telegrams all, you know, to the textbook industry and all the boards of education. Because what has happened is not so much that it's true that I had a difficult time discovering my own history, but what, something much worse has happened to the American people in toto, to all the white American children and their parents. Since they lied about my history, they can no longer find their own. And that is one of the reasons, that is the reason, this country may become the Fourth Reich.
I see. Well, I found out from some rather, well, professors of history who were termed to be a bit unorthodox about some of our famous people who weren't all saintly. And after I got over the shock of learning that George Washington wasn't a saint and that Abe Lincoln maybe really did tell a lie sometime.
And George Washington Carver is not the only respectable black man.
Well, I have since learned much more about the...
I think as far as you take it seriously, you should learn more, and I think you should create a storm and demand why you had to wait so long to find it out.
Well, I...
They're teaching your children, too.
Yes, that is...
Nothing but lies.
That's what I've been trying to do, and I found that it's rather hard to even find information sometimes about people. I don't think that we as a nation or as the publishing business or whatever you want to call it, have gotten to the place where we're going to go out and knock down all those pretty ivory towers that we built up.
And, I know a lot about ivory towers.
And
if you don't do it, it'll be done for you.
Well, that's what I wish would be done, and that's what I think what I thought maybe might be part of the responsibility of the church.
Well, the church until today has abdicated that responsibility. If you take the church seriously or take the responsibility seriously, then you have to do something about it.
Well, that's what I thought maybe you would agree with, that it would be their part, too. Instead of just trying to get things into the educational system, which would take much, much longer than on the ground floor where you reach someone person to person through a spiritual need and obligation, that... it might be gotten in there much easier and faster, and where people would be able to come into contact.
Insofar as it's a serious matter for you, you'll have to act seriously on what you're saying.
Well, thank you.
Thank you for calling. I would just like to pass on the comment to Mrs. Beckoff that if she would write to the Schoenberg Library here in New York, they have a special grant offer that is available, and there are people who want to find out about Negro history or black history. It's one of the best collections in the country.
More accurately, though, it is not the history of black people, it's history of America and black people in this country. History of black people here is American history.
Thank you. We'll take our next call from Miami, Florida. I think we have Mrs. Rose back on the line, and she's hearing Night Call over WAME. Mrs. Rose?
Hello?
Hello.
Hello.
Greetings.
Hello.
How are you?
All right, how are you?
Oh, pretty good for an old lady. I listen to Night Call.
Yes.
Every night, and I was so delighted to hear your voice. I just thought I'd place the call, say hello.
I'm very glad.
And it's needless to say that I'm in accord with whatever you say and write. I've been following your career, and... I just want you to know I'm with you.
Bless you, baby.
And love you.
I know that.
Okay, dear.
Bless you.
Thank
good
you.
Good night.
Good night.
Thank you for calling. Mr. Baldwin, in being a very successful writer and being one who has called attention to many of the problems that faces the black man in this country, how do you feel in being called upon to be a spokesman?
I beg your pardon. How do I feel?
In being called upon to be a spokesman for the black people.
Well, I'm not really given my perspective. I'm no more of a spokesman for black people than my mother is, than my father was. I think it's a mistake to put it in quite that way. It seems to me that, well, anyway, in my own case,
I'm not trying to talk simply about black people. I'm talking about a situation which, according to me, menaces everyone in this country. And as long as one thinks, you know, that so-and-so is speaking for black people and so-and-so is speaking for white people, one makes a very great and what may turn out to be a tragic error. A baby is neither white nor black. Neither is a corpse, white or black. It seems to me that for 400 years here, we have to accept the fact that integration, for example, is not some mysterious goal to be achieved or some terrifying threat or some, you know, or some terrifying menace. It's a fact. It's a fact. The problem is not that we have not been integrated, to use that funny word, but that we haven't for so long and everybody lies about it.
In the press conference following your address to the council, you made the statement, and I hope I'm quoting you correctly, you called on white persons to take the risk of being as unpopular in their communities as I am in my native country.
Yes. Yeah.
Do you consider yourself unpopular?
I beg your pardon. Do I consider myself unpopular in my country?
Right.
Look, I'm a black boy nearly 44 years old. What do you mean? That's not a serious question.
We'll take our next call. Miss Geraldine Dixon, or Doxon, rather, is hearing Night Call over WLIB here in New York. Miss Doxon, your question. Miss Doxon has left us. This is area code 212-749-3311. That's our national telephone number. That's area code 212-749-3311. Remember, you may call us collect, and our local telephone number in New York is 866-5010. Our next call comes from Mr. Ron Bosley, who's hearing Night Call over WBAX in Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania. Mr. Bosley, your question, sir.
I would like to ask Mr. Baldwin if he feels that the Christian people or churches have really let the black people down. How can he really consider them Christian? He referred to them many times this evening as Christian. Maybe he could give me his definition of what he feels a Christian is.
The definition of Christian couldn't possibly come from me. According to Christians, it comes from Jesus Christ.
Yes, it would be a Christ follower. So how can we refer to religious organizations if they really let the black people down as Christians?
I'm talking less about Christian organizations. I'm talking about the power of the Christian states.
I don't understand what you mean by...
Well, for example, Germany was a Christian state. Not a Christian organization, a Christian state. Well, Alabama is a Christian state. Senator Eastland, Mississippi is a Christian.
Well...
So I'm assured by Christians.
Yes, that's the point I'm trying to make. Are they really Christian if they could do a thing like that? Because that wouldn't be Christ-like. Christ didn't let people down just because the color of their skin was different.
No, but the people let Christ down, didn't they?
Pardon?
The people let Christ down, though, didn't they?
Well, yes, but they weren't Christian.
I'm saying that they're still doing it. Christ is not a Christian either.
You don't think Christ is a Christian?
Christ is not a Christian. He was a Jew.
Well, the word Christian actually means Christ-like.
Yes, but that is something the Christian churches have forgotten, to say nothing of the Christian states.
Well, that's what's confusing me when we call them Christian states if they are not Christ-like. That's misusing the word Christian.
The ex-prime minister of South Africa assured the world that God is on our side. The Christian world confuses its power with its virtue. And its virtue is mainly that I not be anywhere near them. And that is in order to sanctify its power.
Well, do you feel that the word Christian then as a state or as a country is misused if it is not following the principles of Christ Jesus?
I'll put it this way. The Christian church as it is presently constituted is a blasphemy. Is that clear?
Yes, because actually it isn't Christianity, it's Christendom, isn't it? It should be referred to as Christendom and not Christianity if it could do things as many people or states have done to people because of their nationality or because of the color of their skin. Because Christ did not, he was not...
That's quite true. I simply use the word Christian because it's an arbitrary term which has become very popular in the Western world.
Yes.
Mr. Bosley, thank you for calling, sir.
You're welcome.
We'll return with our guest, Mr. Baldwin, right after station identification. Stay tuned for the Night Call Network.
More Night Call with Del Shields and guest James Baldwin after station identification. Call it a social pressure valve, the voice of the ghetto, the voice of disgust, the voice of hope. Call it what you will, it's the voice of the people. Night Call lets people talk. And experts on the phone anywhere in the country or world offer answers to some of the problems. Having a heart-to-heart squawk. At least it gets people talking, first about their problems and eventually to each other. Night Call has a potential cast of 200 million Americans, and we now cover 50 stations in 40 cities. It could just be the most important listening post on the air today because it starts people talking. A program you should listen to, a forum to speak for yourself. If we don't start talking to each other, we'll end up shouting, and there's no telling where we'll wind up after that. Night Call, every weeknight on this station. Speak for yourself, collect on Night Call. Area code 212-749-3311 or 866-5010 to James Baldwin about the Christian Black Betrayal. Again, Del Shields.
And we return to more Night Call listeners and their calls to Mr. James Baldwin. I think we have Miss Geraldine Doxson back on the phone, and she's hearing Night Call over WLIB-FM in New York.
Good evening.
Hello.
Hello, Mr. Baldwin.
Yes.
I'm very happy to speak to you tonight.
Thank you.
Regarding your question or your statement, what do you suppose that the black people do? What do you suppose that the black people do since you feel that the Christian church has let them down?
Well, what black people inevitably will have to do, you know, is find some means. Let us put it this way. I didn't say the Christian church let them down. I said that it betrayed them. And itself.
And I agree with you perfectly. I agree with you 100% on that.
Well, the necessity we are under is simply to bring about an end to this particular oppression.
How? How do you propose this is done?
Well, each man will find his own way to do it, or else won't.
But if you have a 4 billion people in a country,
mm-hmm.
and you find that the system... The system is working against the
4 billion
people.
You have to change the system.
As an individual or as a group?
Well, if we have enough individuals, obviously I can't change the system by myself, nor
right,
can you.
That's right.
But what we can do, what has to be done in any case, is to change the climate of the country so that we won't be represented at least by all these clowns.
But that's just it. We're not represented, as far as I'm concerned, by anybody.
I agree with you about this, but we call ourselves a sovereign people.
We call ourselves, we are called. We don't call, we take what, it seems to me that we take whatever people give us.
Well, I suggest that you overhaul the political machinery of this country, which throws up every 4 years so many ghastly choices.
Do you think that we as a people have the time for that type of strategy?
You better. We don't have time for anything else.
Thank you for calling, Ms. Doxson.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Our national telephone number is area code 212-749-3311. That's 749-3311. Remember, you may call us collect. And tonight our guest is Mr. James Baldwin, and we are discussing the Christian betrayal. Our next caller is Mr. Algernon Stamps, who's hearing Night Call over KBON in Omaha, Nebraska.
Yes?
Yes, hello.
Hello?
Mr. Stamps?
How are you tonight? I would like to ask Mr. Baldwin a question concerning Christianity as such. Now, to me, a Christianity is a personal experience with Christ, and I would ask him what he would agree to this. Does he have another definition of Christianity?
I will accept your definition that Christianity is a personal experience with Christ, but it has to be translated in such terrible terms as labor unions, cities, mines, bosses, profits. It has been translated as personal experience into the public life.
Yes, sir. Now, but if we got, as a race, as black people, do we have our own alternative, I mean, something that we can turn to other than...
We have ourselves.
As an individual.
We have ourselves to turn to.
Right, well, I agree with that 100%. I think we need to turn to ourselves in a sense, but in what sense are you stating that? Maybe I have just an opinion.
When I say we have ourselves, it's finally always what it comes to. We have each other, and all, and whosoever will.
And you don't, as an individual, do you believe in a greater power than the human power? Do you just believe in
it? If I didn't believe in that, I would be dead.
How's that now?
If I didn't believe in that, I would be dead. If I didn't believe in that, in fact, is that so, in some sense, which no one can name, human life be infinitely worse than it is right now.
I agree with that 100%. But you believe in the theory, we would say that God only helped those that helped themselves to a degree. Would you agree with that?
I believe that God, the nature of God, is our responsibility, and we have to enlarge that nature to include ourselves.
The nature of God is our responsibility.
That's right.
Thank you for calling, sir.
All right, thank you.
Thank you so much. We'll take another call, Mr. Baldwin, again from Omaha, Nebraska, and from the same station, KBON, this time Mr. James Bishop. Mr. Bishop, your question, sir.
Yes, Mr. Baldwin, now it is established, as far as I'm concerned, that religion is a social institution. Now, since we are being betrayed as black people, according to you, by the Christian religion, what alternative do we have?
I didn't say the Christian religion, I said the Christian church.
Okay, the Christian church. Then what should we do? Establish a unique new Christian church for ourselves, or what? Or has this been? I mean,
as a matter of fact, what black people have done in this country is precisely that: to create a unique Christian church for themselves.
Okay. Now, since we have this, what seems to be the problem?
I wasn't trying to suggest that it was necessarily, at least in the terms I'm speaking, a problem for black people.
Okay.
I did say before, you know, I'm accusing the Christian church of a self-betrayal. A self-betrayal which will lead to its death.
But this is the white Christian church, then. The black Christian church is not betraying us, then. Is this what you're saying?
Oh, various black ministers have betrayed all kinds of black people. You know, let's not be romantic about that.
Right.
I'm not talking about it in those terms.
You're
really
talking of the church as an organization.
I'm talking about the church as an organization which either has moved in the direction of human freedom or else has moved out of the way.
Well, and then you said that the Christian church, as far as the black Christian church organization is concerned, is not betraying the black people.
Well, in the first place, the black Christian church, unlike the Pope in Rome, doesn't have the power to betray black people. He can betray only such black people as he gets his hands on. Those people who betray them are already themselves betrayed.
Yeah, well, see, the confusion with what I'm receiving here is that I feel that the black Christian church is actually involved in the civil rights movement and in helping lift the black people up to the level of equality.
Up to the level of their masters, up to the level of their slaveholders, up to the level of their murderers. Equal to whom?
I'm talking about equality as the American citizenship is described.
American white people are not equal to each other. It's called the American way.
Right, okay, good. But let's get back to the church, the organization of the church. Now,
the church is organized on the principle of power, not on the principle of love.
Okay.
Right?
Is the black church organized in love or power or what?
The black church is organized on the principle of necessity.
Uh-huh.
On the principle of survival.
Uh-huh. So, now, to get down to the nitty-gritty.
Yeah, let's get to the nitty-gritty.
All right, now, we already have an established black Christian church that we can go to for our religious...
You may have it in some parts of the country. You do not have it in Detroit. You don't have it in New York.
Uh-huh.
For
so
example.
It's the responsibility of the black
church... Look, the Christian church, when the Christian state murdered Martin Luther King,
right,
created a crisis which he may not survive.
Uh-huh. Okay, but let's get back to the betrayal part, which is the thesis here. Now, are you labeling the complete Christian ethic or what?
I'm not discussing the Christian religion or the Christian ethic. I'm discussing the Christian church.
All right, now this is the white Christian church.
In effect, in terms of power, which is the terms in which I'm discussing it, there is no other.
There is no other.
There'll be a very cold day in August when there's a black pope in Rome.
Mr. Bishop?
Well, now, what I want to get to is the
Mr.
basis
Bishop,
of what the black
Mr.
people
Bishop,
are.
I'm sorry, sir, but we've given you as much time as we possibly can afford to.
Okay, Mr. Shields. Yeah.
Thank you so much for calling,
all right,
sir.
Thank you.
We'll take one more call, this time from Indianapolis, Indiana. Mr. Georgia Richardson, I'm sorry, Mrs. Georgia Richardson is hearing Night Call over WTLC. Mrs. Richardson, your call, please.
Yes, I have a historical question for Mr. Baldwin.
Yes.
Did the white man not introduce the Negro to Christianity and then use Christianity as a tool against the black man for his own good?
But that is precisely my point. That is precisely my point. I didn't learn to sing low sweet chariot because I had some great desire to be saved. I had to learn it.
Right. This is right. The same people who deny us to live next door to them and to give us jobs are the same people who sit beside us every Sunday morning and sing.
And want to raise us to their level.
Right. Exactly right.
I repudiate that level simply.
Right. Right. It's been a pleasure, Mr. Baldwin.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for calling.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Baldwin, if I were to give you about 30 seconds, could you tell us where do we go from here?
Where do we go from here? You know, it's a question which is impossible anyone to answer. I won't really try. You know, it seems to me that what has already happened indicates at least very clearly to me that we can choose, you know, to accept living among assassins, suspecting conspiracies, despising our leaders, and end up with everybody more or less a corpse, or not. That isn't up to me. That's up to the sovereign will of the great American people.
Mr. Baldwin, thank you so much for being our guest tonight on Night Call.
Thank you.
This is Del Shields in New York. Good night and peace.
Good night.
Night Call, the new nationwide listener call-in show on vital issues. Tomorrow night, same time, same station, the new Black Politics with Congressman John Conyers, temporary chairman of a group of black leaders, which is going to advise black America on which way to vote. Listen tomorrow night. Discuss freely and responsibly your own personal opinions. Speak for yourself on Night Call. Produced by the United Methodist Church, presented with National Council of Churches, National Catholic Office for Radio and Television, and National Urban Coalition.